28:19, go ye, right? Go ye therefore. And teach all nations. How does Mark put it? Mark 16:15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world. Well, but man, the world's huge. How do we know where? Well, God will let you know. He'll give you, right? So some would say, oh, you know, this was to the apostles, the pastors, the leaders of the church. That doesn't necessarily mean that I have to go. Well, maybe you have to stay, but where you're at, you still need to go, if you know what I mean. You have to go. Okay, and I want to, if you think that that's a reasonable response, well, that's not for me. Yes, it is. What happened in Acts 8:1? And I'm thinking, this is just a warm-up. This is just an intro. This isn't, you know, that's why I go an hour and a half, right? It's okay, it'll be okay. Take a deep breath. Acts 8:1, and Saul was consenting unto his death, Stephen's death. You know, and wow, you know, Peter preached and thousands get saved. Stephen preaches and he gets killed. But think about the fruit to Stephen's account from through the Apostle Paul. Have you thought about that? How much fruit is on Stephen's account? Because who did they lay their stuff at whose feet? Saul. Who was consenting unto his death? Who got saved? And was great. Preacher, missionary, right? And Saul was consenting unto his death, Stephen's. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So, again, the ones who were, we know were given the Great Commission, stayed at Jerusalem. The others were scattered abroad. But what does it say? What did they do? A devout man carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, having men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad, not the apostles, the others, therefore they that were scattered abroad, went everywhere preaching the word. Every time Bible Baptist Church dismisses, what should we do? We should go everywhere preaching the word. Do we have to have great persecution to do it, to obey? No. Another thing is, like, you get somebody like, you know, God says, go, right? He said to Jonah, go! Nineveh, right? Where did Jonah go? Nineveh. Initially? But God compelled him to go his way, God's way. And he had a change of heart. He had to go pretty deep and in weird circumstances. But he went. God has a way of doing that. But why should it take it? For us to go where God wants us to go. What's it going to take you? Like maybe, you know, maybe there's something where God's going to bring in something for you to go where God wants you to go. But it doesn't have to be that way. Like, you know, we can just go. And, you know, there's times, the different in the Old Testament, different prophets were told to go. You know, go here, go there, wherever. And the ones that understood how important it was to obey God went. And those of us who understand how important it is to obey God, we'll go. We'll do what God has for us to do, for each of us to do. What did I do with my notes? No. I had some really good notes, too. There they are. Praise the Lord. All right, Matthew 25. Now, God has given me some great opportunities. When I first became a correctional center chaplain, I had a space to meet with a certain number of inmates, and it was a shared space with the spiritual care elder, indigenous type spiritual caregiver. So I needed to get creative in how I was going to get the gospel materials I had to the inmates on their And so I developed boxes of certain materials. The Trinitarian Bible Society and the Canadian Bible Society both had King James Bibles. Trinitarian had New Testaments. Barron Christian Seed Canada had Mark, John, Romans. Trinitarian Bible Society had King James bookmarks. I had a number of tracts, a lot of different tracts, good other kind of books, Mark Cahill books, etc. I had an inmate that came to me and said, "Hey, you gave me that Mark Cahill book, One Heartbeat Away. Someone stole it from me. I need another one." Because he had gotten so far and he was understanding the gospel, he was under conviction. So he got a second copy and read it and got saved. He got saved. I got to share that. I said, that account to Mark Cahill, his ministry, and next thing you know it was on their website with other comments that came in. It was kind of cool. But, what do you do when someone steals your gospel material? You ask for another one. It's just how it is. And I praise the Lord for, again, those opportunities, and again, that fruit. And I have a lot of good materials that have the King James Bible. There's other materials that are asked for. There's courses on salvation and that, but they use a different version. So I give them the King James. I tell them, now, in there's another version in that course, but here's the King James. And then one of the things that's really nice about Northern Manitoba is a lot of the elders, there's a lot of Pentecostals. There's a few Baptist works and ministries, but not many. But there's Pentecostals that use the King James Bible. And because they're familiar with the King James Bible, a lot of the elders tell the young people, use the King James Bible. That's God's word. That's what they say. I'm grateful for that because a lot of them will use the King James Bible, will accept the King James Bible, are familiar with the King James Bible. But the ones that aren't sure, they're in the balance because there's a lot of lies, there was a lot of lies, attacks on the King James Bible. So I try to put it in terms they can understand. So if God's heart and mind on the subject is the best possible orange ever in the world, and it's juiced, right? And that orange, the juice from that orange, I mean, that's pretty pure. So if I have something like Simply Orange, that's close to that, like Simply Orange. But the best that outside of the King James that's being used today, it might be Sunny Delight, Orange Kool-Aid, you know what I'm saying, Tang? It's not orange juice. Not even close to fresh squeezed, let alone Simply Orange. It's way out there. It's not good for you. And I explained that to the inmates, and they seem to get it. Not all of them agree with me, but at least I have the opportunity to explain it. So that's how I do it. I don't know how many of you are in the people, the King James, oh, that's so hard. Oh, that thinks of thousands. I can't understand it. Yes, you can. You are smarter than that. You know, I can say that to people. You're smart. You're smart enough to be able to utilize the King James Bible. I struggled through all my high school years of English and was able to use the King James Bible. You know, and God blessed me. Later on, I did an LPN program and an RN program here in Minnesota, 2-year associate degree RN. One of the clinical times, we had a clinical instructor with the RN program who would take time off just to have a fun thing, activity. She gave us an English exam, an English exam that tested us, graded us on our level of English. And there were 15 in our clinical group, and the lowest ones were maybe high school level English. She read their names. Yeah, everybody agreed it's okay to read my name when you get to my level. And one by one through the 15, she went to high school grad, junior college, bachelor degree, and then my name was the last one, master's degree in English. How did I score that? Telling you this is how. Not in how well I did in high school English. I believe this taught me better English. I believe that. Some people might think, well, no, that wasn't what did it. I believe that this is what did it. It's excellent English. And it has an excellent vocabulary. And I don't know if the person who wrote that test was a King James person or not. Maybe they were. Maybe they had an advantage. Very unfair advantage. Because that was the source of the test. I don't know. But I'm just saying, I want that fresh squeezed orange juice, not something like Sunny Delight or Tang or orange Kool-Aid. I want the real deal. And hopefully we can, you know, more people will be open to that. But Matthew chapter 25, beginning verse 31. But again, you know, I've had opportunities, and so going around in the different areas, I got these boxes of materials, got around. At Christmas time, I had my wife, you know, Michelle, offered to put Christmas gift wrap on the box, and the guys thought that was cool. And I had some extra things that came in for Christmas time to give out on the units and that. I got very familiar with the inmates. I got very comfortable being on the units with them. When I got to the new location, I got into my areas. I don't go around with boxes anymore, but if someone asks for stuff, because most of the guys will come to my challenge sessions. But if they ask for anything, I'll bring it to them. But I go to the areas to talk to the guys and just let them know who I am. And the staff aren't familiar with that. They're not used to chaplain being present, getting on the units with the inmates, having conversations with them, sitting down with them at tables, talking about whatever, you know, and leading it into a spiritual discussion. A lot of times I'll just ask spiritual questions because I'm the chaplain. But the unit managers were like, wow, you're really comfortable on the units. That's good. In fact, you know, and one of the supervisors, one of the senior managers, they call it the senior management team, he said, keep doing it. Do it more. Especially the units that are the most challenging inmates. The highest level of security, the ones who are, you know, in small groups, get out of cell the least, spend time with them, get out there. And if you get any pushback, let me know. I'll deal with it. I'll take care of the pushback. And it's been a great opportunity to, you know, to have good gospel material being distributed. And I appreciate it. The opportunity to have. Now here in Matthew 25:31, you know, I do have a title on sowing the seed. And I'd like to really focus in on sowing the seed where God is clearly at work. You might ask, you really believe you can discern where God is clearly at work? I believe that we can. I believe we can get it from this portion of Scripture, at least one certain particular area where God is at work, where God has always been at work. When Jesus said, the poor you will have with you always, well, if someone's not saved, they're poor. They need salvation. They need the gospel. They're headed for hell. Right? They're in trouble. So here in Matthew 25, beginning verse 31, then saith Jesus unto them, all ye have. No, I'm not in the right one. That's 26. Right? 25. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne. I just realized. Sorry. I don't have trifocals, but I do have the trifocal lens in another frame. Because I am nearsighted. I can see here. But with these, I can see there. Just, you know, aging population, it works. It helps. All right, here we go. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was in hunger, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in, naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came. And that's one of my favorites, right? Because it applies to my life. When I was in prison, he came unto me. I'm grateful that that's there. Amen? Because this doesn't give me validation and assurance and confidence that I'm doing what God called me to do, but it sure is nice to see it there. Just the same. I'm confident God's leading me into what I do because I just see that my working among men, inmates, that there's a resource that if they truly get saved, they get right with God, they get their lives turned around, and they start being the right kind of sons, the right kind of husbands, the right kind of dads. That's what you need to build a church. That's what you need to do a church plant. And without it, good luck. That was great to have 20 visitors and, you know, in the 20s for our service last time I was in the park. But I was in it's just, you need more than that. You need men. And so I just really solidly believe that I'm doing what God would have me to do. Naked and you clothed me, I was sick and you visited me, I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous ask from saying, Lord, when? Saw me being hungered and fed thee or thirsty and gave you drink. When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And I'd like to open in prayer and get on with this. Least of these. And such are considered least of these. Why? In God's economy, are they any less than anybody else? Or is it just how people look on the outward appearance rather than the heart? Right? So I'm going to think, well, let's pray. Father, we just ask for your help. As we look to your word, Father, I believe that you'd have us all continue to sow the seed, water the seed, trusting you to give the increase. I just believe you would. And I believe it can be clear to us where you're at work or where there's needs, where there's people who they may or may not be open to the gospel, but it's a good place to start the sowing and the watering. So I pray that you'd help me continue what you've called me to do, what I believe. I believe it's pretty clear. I believe that what you have for me is pretty cut and dry, Lord. It's just straightforward, and I just know I need to be faithful in continuing to do that. But I pray for each of us, because each one here needs to know from you. They need to hear from you. Nobody can, you know, nobody could have told me but you. Nobody could have led me to what you have for me but you. And I believe that's true for every one of us. So help us, Lord, to have our hearts and minds open to your truth. May we allow you to speak to us, and we ask for your blessings on your word and these thoughts. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So, some of this might sound to some like, well, isn't that just social gospel? It can be, and believe me, there's a lot of people who get involved in this type of work, and they don't witness and share the gospel. Well, that's not right. It's good to take care of needs like this, but taking care of them without the gospel being the primary focus, it's not right. And so, this whole idea, you know, I was hungry. I'm going to sort of look through these again one by one. I was unhungered, you gave me meat. Okay, so I want us to go to Mark, I believe it is, 12:28. Mark 12:28. One of the things that will motivate us when we see an opportunity to meet a need is love for God and love for people. And so, in Mark chapter 12, verse 28, that love, that motivation of love, greatest motive. We're not to be, you know, I mean, there are some who are, they're motivated by fear. There's those who are motivated by a sense of duty. We need to be motivated by love. Mark 12:28, and when the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he, Jesus, had answered them, will ask them, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love him, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. That is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. So, taking the gospel to the least of these, right, as Jesus said, my brethren, out of a motive of love. So, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We prove our love for God by obeying that command. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Command to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Why? Why the gospel? Why not just these other things? Because that's their greatest need. Every person's greatest need is salvation. Through the gospel message. Through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by him. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so, I was given the illustration about the orange juice, the verse on that, Psalm 30, verse 5, the first part of it. Every word of God is pure. We share the word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We're to be faithful in that. And here, like, you know, so how do I prove I can love God and love my neighbor in faithful witnessing? Being a faithful witness and a faithful testimony. I can show my love for God and for people. My neighbor as myself. Are you not grateful for how you came to Christ? How you came to salvation if you're saved? Are you not grateful for however that came to be through people who are faithful to God? Our motivation, love for God, love for people, being obedient. I think some of the most important things for us to share. Some of the most important things for us to share were shared with me the night I got saved. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John 5, I think it's common. There are certain things that are common. Some people refer to common denominators, but there's common needs. I have three timepieces here. And this one just flashed. All right. 1 John 5:10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of the Son. Now, growing up, I witnessed a number of conflicts, especially on a playground or on in a sport thing. I remember playing sandlot sports or pickup game sports. No official referees, but someone fouled this person or someone did whatever. And then the argument comes, oh, you know, you cheated or you did this, you did that. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. Call me a liar. Right? Standoff. Call me a liar. Well, if you don't believe God's word about your need of eternal salvation, you're calling God a liar. I mean, you know, you call anybody else a liar, you're probably, maybe they weren't lying that time, but they're probably lying. I know they lied some other time. But to call God a liar? Well, I don't believe, I'm not going to believe your word. Okay, you're calling God a liar. Anybody who says, I don't believe God's word, I'm not going to believe God's word or whatever. Well, that's what verse 10 is about. He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. So if you're not saved and you understand the gospel and you're resisting for whatever reason, you're also calling God a liar. Do you understand that? And you need to stop. You need to believe God and believe his word. And then you need to love God and love God's word and love people. Key. The Great Commission is mission possible. There's nothing impossible about it. 2 Timothy 2. It's mission possible. The Great Commission is possible. There's all kinds of needy people. And I believe that, you know, God can let us know where He wants us to focus. I don't know where God wants you to focus, but I know where God wants me to focus, and that's what's important. For me to be faithful and do what God has for me to do. I have a great opportunity, but to whom much is given, much will be required, and I'm in awe. And I'm also, okay, God, this is tough, because I have so much opportunity. There's not enough time in my days, and there's not enough energy in this guy to do it all. So I really have to be in tune with what God wants that day, at that time. Because sometimes it's a one-on-one visit, but it could lead to salvation. Sometimes it's group stuff. Sometimes I just need to go to my office and pray and get re-energized because I'm just spent. And I know, because God helps me to know, but He'll help you to know. But I don't know that there's anybody else who can help you other than God to really know what is it for you. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Men are to be faithful, but you know, ladies, you're to be faithful. Children, you're to be faithful with the gospel message. It's important. Our faithfulness is important. And it multiplies. Do you see the multiplication here? Who did Paul hear from? Well, he heard Stephen. And then Paul committed to Timothy. Timothy committed to faithful men who committed it to others. It just keeps going, and it multiplies. It's designed to multiply. Not one here, one there. Now, you say, it's tough. Yeah, it's tough, but it's still possible. You know, some people say, it's failed over and over again. This Great Commission plan, this whatever you want to call it, Jesus commanded going to all the world, it just doesn't seem to be working. The only reason why it doesn't work is we don't practice what Jesus said. And if we could practice what Jesus said, it would work. It will work. It will not fail. Guaranteed. And yeah, we can have all kinds of excuses or whatever. But we each need to do business with God on God's terms. From here. Where do we live from? Regarding if we're saved. Right from here. It's from here. Loving God with our all. Loving our neighbor as ourself. Being real and serious. And just genuine about who God is. And what He saved us from. And the lost all around us. It's possible. It's something that's very possible and doable, but we need to be obedient. If you love me, keep my commandments. What do you love? Will you spend time? Will you figure it out? What does He have for you personally? And maybe, just maybe, that you'll have somebody to go with. Two, or maybe three. Not, right, you know, two are better than one, threefold, not quickly broken. Whatever it might be. Some people have different, I believe God is using me with what He's trained me and prepared me for. And God will use you, what He's able to train and prepare you for. But are you taking the steps of obedience to receive that training? That discipleship, whatever it might be. That getting over the nervousness. And just, okay, God, this is tough, but I'll go talk to that person. I'm not comfortable. I'm out of my comfort zone. But I'll do it because I know that's what I have to do. And I believe that's what you want me to do right now. And I want to avoid the missed opportunities. I want to make the most of the opportunities you give me. I want to be faithful. I want to love you. And I want to love others. I want to be obedient. I want to grow. And I want to be part of this plan that's doable. I want to be faithful. I want a teacher to be able to commit your truth to me to equip me to be better, equipped, more faithful in this gospel ministry. This what is supposed to be the heartbeat of what a church is all about. Jesus loves his church. He gave himself for it. And the church has a purpose to reach a community, to reach a region, to go into all the world with the gospel. And I'm grateful. My wife and I are so thankful to be part of Iowa Baptist Church and have been part of Iowa Baptist Church for more than 40 years. It's a blessing. We're grateful. We have extreme gratitude. But how about you? How's your gratitude? How thankful are you? What's holding you back? Just let's have our hearts and minds open. And maybe you're doing well. Maybe you're doing okay. But maybe there's something that's just lacking in some way. Just have your heart and mind open this week. Like I'm trying to be faithful to what I was asked to present tonight. But we've had some tremendous opportunities. And one of the things was, well, what have you done? Like, when we got to the pod, our church came up, and the Atkinsons are here. They came with that group, and we did some different work. But we went with, I believe we had John Romans. We had some. John Romans, yeah, we distributed them all over the community. And we actually had a visitor come with one of those John Romans and stayed with us until he passed away. He made a profession of faith. It was a doctor's wife that led him to the Lord. And they were trying to find a good church for them. They took it this church, that church, and then they came to us, and like they were just thrilled. And there was a Pentecostal couple, and they said, "Man, we sure like, you know." And the doctor was working in the wife moved to Winnipeg. The doctor came back to work in the pub. They were from South Africa. They couldn't really handle the pub. Well, he could okay, but not her. But they came to services whenever they were in town together, and they took my wife and I out to buy supper for us. And they said, "Man, we really love coming to your church, not for the meat of the word, but we go to this other church for dessert." Oh, well, that's how it is. That's some of the challenges. I'm trying to do a ministry, but you know, at least they recognize where they got the meat. Praise the Lord for that. All right, so again, so some of the other things we did, we did the distribution with groups that came. John Romans in that, and we continue to do other types of distribution as well. We had there's an independent Baptist who has an ecotourism business, a business in Churchill, Manitoba, polar bear tours and beluga whale tours, and he's well-to-do, and he gives to missions, and he gives to missions projects, and so. I told him about Rich Cristiano. He has some Christian films. There's one that had the guy that was the Love Boat guy, got saved, Gavin McLeod. He was in The Secrets of Jonathan Sperry, an excellent gospel presentation in that. And I had contacted Rich Cristiano about, you know, bulk orders or whatever. And he said, "If you buy 600, you'll get them for $2 a piece." So this guy bought 600 once, 600 twice, 600 three times, and got them distributed. They're in other communities nearby. And then this same guy, well-to-do gentleman, is our political candidate for the Conservative Party. The first time he ran as a Conservative, he got 11% of the vote. Second time he got 22, the third time he got a little bit more than that. But when he goes and campaigns to communities, he's more about bringing the gospel and finding who the real believers are in the community, and working with them to get the gospel to the community. And, you know, and it's, I like the idea that he purchases gospel materials to see them distributed throughout northern Manitoba, our writing. And he got good, solid King James materials as far as the John Romans gospel tracts. And we had those materials as well as that movie. But he organized in his non-season time with the beluga whales and the polar bears. I went with him places like Pukwudgeon, Moose Lake, Easterville. We've had people from Moose Lake and Easterville. I still have connections there, but to be able to go. And when I went with him to do the distribution, this was after I started the chaplaincy, a number of times I'd be on the streets of these communities, we're going door to door giving out these materials, and there'll be a guy in the distance, and he recognizes me, he says, "Hey, Chaplain!" Right. Isolated community, northern Manitoba, he recognized me. "I know that guy from when I was in jail." "Yeah, I thought I recognized him." You know, because the reality is, I said it before, you know, it's more common for a young man in northern Manitoba to spend time in a youth facility, youth center, in corrections, than it is for them to finish 10th grade. And so, I know I'm doing what God has me for me to do, but what about you? What does God have for you to do? It's not what God has for me to do. No way. Like, those opportunities are rare. But there's an opportunity for you. God has something for you. No question. But what is it? You know, that's something for you to find out. That's something for you to pray about. Get serious about it. Because it's something. It's something. But what is it? I believe God will show you. God will make it clear to you. So that's some of the stuff. We did trade shows, started doing trade shows. And we get a booth, get tables. Now most of the booths, they had the tables across, and then they had their stuff back here. Well, I did my tables as in a U, and had those tables covered with gospel materials, and we had some different things. We had surveys, good person test surveys, and other things like that. And distributed a lot of good materials. Oh, and every year we met people and said, "Oh, man, I'm backslid. I need to get right with God. I need to get in church. We'll see you Sunday." Zero every year. But at least they, you know, at least they got motivated for a little bit. But still, sowing the seed. Water. Trusting God to give the increase. There's things that can be done. And that was one thing, the trade show. Man and dad. And again, we had a lot of connections. Got a lot of materials. Oh, and the John Orleans, first time John Orleans, there was a lady who went to a different church, professing believer, but she got the John Romans, it's marked. She went through that John Romans as it's marked and realized she was lost and got saved. She still went to the other church. But she shared the testimony. She got saved through that marked John Romans. She realized she was lost to the sinner and needed to repent and believe the gospel. And she did. Later on, she didn't lived much longer. She died, I think, with heart disease or something. You know, praise the Lord. You know, sow water, God give the increase, and just keep inventing. Keep plugging away. No matter what the overall response is, whatever result that says, up to Him. I need to be faithful. You need to be faithful. You need to be faithful. Praise the Lord for His goodness. We praise the Lord for His blessings. So I'm going to go back to 1 John 5. Again, we don't want to be one to call God a liar, right? Got that one? And verse 11, right? This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Salvation is in the person of Jesus Christ. As I said, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Peter, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Jesus Christ, He's the way. That's who you place your faith in. Verse 12, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son, God hath not life." Trying to help people see, either you have it or you don't. I'm so grateful for when I realized I didn't have it, but I wanted it. And that night, I understood, believed, and gained eternal life. But before I believed the gospel, repented of my sin, I didn't have life. By the end of that night, I did. Praise God for that. I thank God for that. It's that simple. "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." And again, where are you? Are you in the balance? Faith in Jesus Christ. Repentance of faith. And that's where people are at. Either they have or they don't. It's one or the other. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." When you, those of us who are saved, when you knew you had eternal life, how was that? How did that feel? How was that? What was that like? How cool was that, if you want to say it that way? Pretty awesome, pretty amazing to know you have eternal life, be confident of it. What a blessing. But there are a lot of people who don't think you can know. So we want to tell them, you can know. God says you can know. You have eternal life. People need the Lord. These things have been written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Ye may believe. So, you know, again, I think of David, you know, how courageous he was. I mean, he just ran toward Goliath with his sling and five smooth stones, and he only needed one. Gospel materials. Sometimes a person who witnesses to it seems like a giant. Or it seems like, wow, this person is so hard. You know, it's amazed me that some of the ones who I thought would be the toughest and hardest to win are the ones that got saved. Yeah. How did that happen? You know, God. And prayer. We need to pray. We need to be a praying people. But again, back to Matthew 25, you know, there are all kinds of needy people there, right? There's those that are hungry, thirsty. I think of being hungry for food, physical food, thirsty for a drink, water. But we're also the hungry and thirsty for righteousness. We're after righteousness, are we not? The spiritual application. Naked. Well, anyone who's not clothed in Christ's righteousness is naked before God in a sense. They need, you know, there was a song I was taught when I was taken in Spain, a missionary, veteran missionary to Africa, because of health issues, he moved his family to Spain. But he had a song he taught us. The best thing in my life ever to do was take off the old world and put on the new. Best thing in my life I ever to do was take off the old world and put on the new. Christ's righteousness, not naked. Sick. Spiritually sick. Without salvation, people are spiritually sick. In prison. Bondage to sin. What sets you free? Christ. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And you'll be free indeed. So, again, the least of these. And then I'd like us to go to Romans 12. I've had people that are, I've had conflict with seeking to do ministry, and I haven't always responded to them. I have some regrets regarding that. Because I don't always know how to treat someone I'm in conflict with. And you know, and this is, I'm talking about people that were part of our work in Nepal. Their conflicts developed. So I go to Romans 12, 9, no, 16, I'll start at verse 16. And I'm grateful for those who, of us who understand Romans 12, 16 through 21 and live it out. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil, providing things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him, and if he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So, on the note of vengeance is mine, repay saith the Lord, I'd like to bring up a family relationship that my wife's family has with a family in Thailand. the Eubanks. Most of you probably, maybe, I don't know if anyone ever heard of David Eubank, has a ministry, Free River Rangers, if you're not familiar with it. He and his wife Karen have gone into Burma and they tried to help internally displaced people to safety. His dad went into Burma when he first came to Thailand in 1961. When he and his family went, Alan Eubank, his wife Joan, and their son David arrived to Thailand in 1961. My in-laws, my wife Michelle's mom and dad, mentored her in a place called Mekongtong. And then eventually the Eubanks went up to Chiang Mai, and they started doing. They were with disciples of Christ, but after he retired from that group and at the age of 65, his doctrine is closer to Baptist. He hasn't taken the name, but he works with a lot of Baptists from Burma. Does anybody have an idea who a missionary, Baptist missionary to Burma, had a very effective ministry that just kind of grew? Adam Aaron Judson, anybody familiar with this story a little bit? Some of these that we've met through the Eubanks know the history of their Baptist heritage with Adam Judson and the Word of God and that kind of thing. Now, the ones we meet, sometimes there's differences. There's going to be differences. And I believe it's a lack of proper discipleship is primarily what it is. But we got to meet a group the group is Wa people. There's a lot of minorities in Burma. 40% of the Burmese are minorities. And they're oppressed. Burma has been in civil war. I don't know if anybody's aware. Oh, it's Myanmar now. Do you know that the United States and Canada don't recognize the name Myanmar? They still recognize Burma? Anybody aware of that? That's how it is. With this Myanmar thing, I get it. Some people, they refer to that. But I looked it up and found, last I saw, it's Burma that's recognized by the United States and Canada. There was a military takeover, military coup, civil war since just after World War II. Over 75 years of civil war. And so the Burmese army pushes these minorities off their land, out of their areas, villages, so they can take control of the land and grow opium for the drug trade. That's the primary thing. I'm sure there's probably other things as well. A lot of them are oppressed into service, forced labor, and that type of thing. Some of their young people are brought into their army, military, who are trained to kill their own people. And so there was a young man who defected from the Burma army and found David Eubank and his group of Free Burma Rangers and told his story. And as he's told his story, he's with people who he had something to do with their loved ones being killed. But he ended up believing the gospel, getting saved, and being baptized. And he was forgiven. Later on, David Eubank, when ISIS was in Iraq, he felt impressed to go to Iraq and help the Iraqis, just whatever way he could. He took teams of medics, Burmese medics, Free Burma Ranger medics. They also do a Good Life Club based on John 10:10. They teach children, women, and anybody else who attends, usually all the adults attend, that kind of thing. But they do present the gospel, share the gospel. But they went in to help support, and they were asked by a relief organization. They weren't allowed to go where the supplies of water, food, other things, tarps, medical supplies were needed most. But David's group went, because there's a donor in Boston, Massachusetts, that bought them armor-plated ambulances and Humvees. So they went, And they were driving along. He says it was like kind of being like Mr. Bean, because mortars coming at their vehicles from ISIS. And then they just kept getting away from checkpoints, not even being checked of who they were. They get up to where there's an Iraqi general who's in charge of the operation. Who are you and how did you get here? And he told him who he was. And he says, all that we have is yours. How can we help you? And then he said, huh. And then, you know, they agreed that they could stay and help. And David said, can I pray? And God said to him, get down on your knees and pray. This is a Muslim man, Muslim gentleman. He says, like, I hardly ever prayed on my knees. But he knew what God had told him to do. He got down. We came up, the general said, you're just like us. You know that you can't do this on your own. You know, you need God. So he said, you can go wherever you want in my country. I give you permission from my authority. And that was pretty, to me, that's pretty amazing. They got a documentary on it. But so again, these Burmese, like the two trips that Michelle and I have taken just over 4 years to Thailand, we've gotten to meet with some of these Baptist groups from Burma in Thailand, refugees and that kind of thing. And they have strong ministries. And what they do with their ministries is, some of them are just still kind of camping out in probably what they'd be called up in Canada, we have Crown Land. It's not really claimed, and you know, it can be utilized and probably get a permit to use it or whatever. But then there's other communities that have developed, and they'll have churches, Christian schools, and dormitories for the kids who don't have anybody to stay with. And so we got to visit some places like that on this last trip. But I just feel very impressed that even though for us that's like a vacation in a sense, to go to Thailand, and you know, it's also ministry. Because I see people that go by the name Baptist, but I believe we can have some good instructional conversations, that there's potential. I don't know. I don't know what that's going to do with that. We're not going to die in Thailand. God's called us to Manitoba, and that's where we're going to do our ministry. But when we have time to get a break from Manitoba, the front lines that we're in, and we need that, it's nice to be able to go somewhere where it seems like God can use us to be a blessing to some people and an encouragement, and there might be some future opportunities there. I don't know. I'm not there to you know, redirect something against God's will or against someone else's will, but I am, my wife and I are available to whatever God has for us. I share that to say, God has much for us to do in Manitoba on a certain level, right? As far as getting the gospel materials out there. But even when it's time to have a getaway vacation, there's still opportunities. There's still opportunities. And that's how we ought to live day by day, week by week. However, God, what do you have for me today, this week, this, whatever I'm setting out to do? Lord, I want to devise my way according to your will, and I want to be you to be able to say, I devise my way, but you directed my steps. Jonah initially, did he allow God to direct his steps? No. So it's good to devise our way, but it's important to allow God to devise our steps. And again, sowing the seed, and where? Is God at work in different places? Can we have any sense that God is really, I can see God clearly working here, I need to go there. That's my there. But my there is not your there. Your there is your there. And again, it might be a group effort, or it might be something God has for you to do individually. I don't know what it is, but God does. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. I just ask your blessings.